Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm John Schaefer, and late yesterday, 23 people were anointed as geniuses, by which I mean they received the annual MacArthur Fellowship from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, the nicknamed the Genius Award. Now, two musicians that we've worked with over the years, mandolinist Chris Thiele and flutist Claire Chase from the band Ice, received the five-year, half-million-dollar fellowships, as well as novelist Juno Diaz, who joined us on Soundcheck just 2 weeks ago. Chris Thiele won the award despite being a lying, duplicitous jerk who says he'll play on the WNYC softball team, but whenever we're short players and I ask him, he always has some lame excuse like, oh, I'd love to, but I'm in Moscow right now. It just makes me so mad that he gets all that money and I don't. I mean, $500,000. Think of what you could do with that money. In fact, think about it. And tell us, what if you got that call next year from the MacArthur Foundation saying that you'd won one of these genius awards? Leave a comment on our website, soundcheck.org, or call our voicemail number, 646-493-7939. 646-493-7939. Joe Levy is editor of Billboard magazine. He joins us every Tuesday. Joe, what would you do if you got that call and $500,000?
Wow. Well, first off, I just want to say it's so nice for my genius finally to be recognized, even if it's just between you and me, John. That is a lot of money. I would write a book. I would use the money to take time off to write a book about the making of Pavement's Wowie Zowie. And then I would use $400,000.
A classic record from 90s indie rock world.
Exactly. And I would use $400,000 to do that. And then the last $100,000 spent to get the band back together to play the album straight through once the book is done.
I'm drowning for your thirst.
Okay, Joe Levy, ignoring the tax situation of that $500,000 grant.
I got to pay taxes on that?
I assume you do. It's
oh,
income,
wow.
Isn't it?
I really hope that those boys are willing to work a little cheaper than I thought.
Now, that is not the reason that Joe Levy is here today. This is the reason that Joe Levy's here today.
And him at last. Now in some way.
The band is Mumford & Sons, and in a month of big new releases, this promises Joe to be the biggest. Their second album, is it? Called, it looks like Babel. I guess we're saying Babel because that's how they sing.
How they pronounce it on the title track, Babel. So let's call their second album Babel, and let us say it is the biggest album of the year thus far. The biggest first week of the year. The numbers will be in first thing tomorrow morning, but projected to do 600,000. Just for comparison's sake, The biggest first week of the year up till now is Justin Bieber at 374,000.
Wow.
And this is the biggest rock album, the biggest one-week sales for a rock album since 2008. In November of 2008, AC/DC sold 784,000 records in a week. Think about the comparison between these two bands, where they are in their careers.
Exactly, because AC/DC, a legacy act, you know, a classic.
Exactly.
And Mumford & Sons, complete unknowns until a year or so ago.
And in fact, when their first album came out a few years ago, it sold 5,000 copies in its first week. What a long road they have traveled. And a lot of it is the road they've traveled.
Mm-hmm.
This is a band that has slugged it out on the road, playing big gigs at Coachella, Lollapalooza, but also, really, no matter how big they get, paying attention to smaller gigs in secondary markets like Bloomington, Indiana, or Portland, Maine. They had an unusual tour this summer. They set up their album by going out on the road. A lot of bands can do this. They can earn good money on the road. In this area, they played an outdoor gig in Hoboken.
Uh-huh.
They played out on Pier A in Hoboken. They got a crowd of about 15,000. And then they went to Portland, Maine right after that, and they started what they called their Gentlemen of the Road Festival. Four spots in the United States. They stayed for 2 days. They brought in other bands. They brought in local food. They took over the town. But look where they did it, in Portland, Maine.
Right.
And Daniel Glass, who runs their record label, Glassnote, said to me, they shook every hand of every fan in Portland, Maine. They signed every autograph. Their publicist, Jim Merlis, said to me, there must have been 10 articles in the local paper on the second day they were there. He thinks there's not a man, woman, or child of any age who does not know who this band is in Portland, Maine, and does not know that their record is coming out. And that's the kind of love that they've shown to fans in these smaller markets, which is being repaid right now.
So your projections there at Billboard are somewhere in the neighborhood of 600,000 records sold week one, top of the charts, needless to say.
Top of the charts, no doubt about that. I would say somewhere between 590 and 610, if you really want to be precise about numbers that I don't have yet.
Joe Levy's editor of Billboard, and this is the title track from the new record by Mumford & Sons called Babel.
Numbered my days, and I'll go along with everything you say. But I ride home laughing, look at me now, for the walls of my town, they come crumbling down. And my ears hear the call of my unborn sons, and I know that choice is color. Explain it all to the watchman's son. I never lived a year better spent in love. Cause I know my weakness, know my voice, and I'll believe in grace and joy.
Babel is the title track from the new album by Mumford and Sons, which is expected to sell somewhere in the vicinity of 600,000 albums and top the Billboard charts its first week. Joe Levy, editor of Billboard, joins us on Soundcheck every Tuesday. Acoustic guitar, banjo, is it arena ready?
Yeah, how about that? Isn't that weird? But yeah, it really is. You know, I was talking about their touring strategy before, and so what they've said is they took that strategy from what they saw in the Avett Brothers, who are not an arena-ready folk or folk rock band.
Yeah.
They're not a rock band at all. Whereas Mumford & Sons are barely a folk band. I mean, this music is so brotastic. It is just fist-pumping, foot-stomping music that happens to have a banjo in it. It's a bit bombastic.
Where are these guys from?
They are from England. They came out of the what is referred to as the West London folk scene. Mm-hmm. Everyone in it says, there's no scene here. We're not folk musicians. But they like acoustic guitars. Laura Marling is out of there. Marcus Mumford is the Mumford and Mumford and Son, started as her drummer slash boyfriend, put this band together. And there were like-minded musicians who liked acoustic instruments. But these guys do not attack it as though they are a folk band or a string band or an acoustic band or anything other than a massive freaking rock band. What we have here is the new version of the Dave Matthews Band. Only, and this is going to come out way, way more of a slam than I mean it to, but crossed with Creed.
Ooh. All right, you're going to have to explain that one.
Well, you know, they want to take pains to say we're not a Christian band. We're a spiritually minded band. But, you know, you name your second record after Babel or Babel, a certain tower of which or where a certain tower was built in the Bible. You mention Jesus a lot. You talk about being down on your knees. You try to explain you're not a Christian band by saying, oh, that lyric where I said I set out to serve the Lord. I didn't say I'm serving the Lord. I said I set out to serve the Lord. It's in the pluperfect. By the way, an exact freaking quote. It's in the pluperfect. Meaning it's more of a spiritual...
Meaning Marcus Mumford has been educated.
He has, which is a key thing in their lovable bombast, that they have this biblical portent to the lyrics, some of which they acknowledge they've copped from Shakespeare or Shakespearean language, some of which have biblical language. Mm-hmm. His mom and dad are in the Vineyard Church. He was born in California to parents in the Vineyard Church. You may be familiar with the Vineyard ministry.
No, I am not.
Well, remember when Bob Dylan went Christian?
Yeah.
That was in a Vineyard ministry. So there is something evangelical about this music.
Okay.
There really is. And I'll say, too, when I mentioned Creed and Dave Matthews, these are all bands with massive success that, honestly, I've struggled to understand.
Mm-hmm. So with Mumford & Sons, I mean, you mentioned that first album selling 5,000 copies its first week. It's now up over 2.4 million copies. So it has been a slow burn, but it has sort of been boiling for a while.
Yeah.
And they got a huge lift when they appeared at the Grammys in 2011, last year.
They had two Grammy nominations for Song of the Year and Record of the Year for Little Lion Man, and they had the opportunity to perform not just that song, but to perform as a part of a large troupe of young musicians backing an older musician with folk rock leanings. His name, Bob Dylan.
And we have that video on our website. You can check it out at soundcheck.org if you missed that memorable moment from the 2011 Grammy appearance by Mumford & Sons.
And what you will see is Bob Dylan doing his thing,
yeah,
oblivious to these guys who are in complete ecstasy behind him, flailing away on all sorts of stringed instruments.
Now, they have done other sort of notable collaborations, and one that you suggested to us was Jerry Douglas, who's an amazing slide guitar player.
Jerry Douglas, this is actually, if you buy the deluxe version of the Mumford record, this is included on it as well. It's on the new Jerry Douglas record. It's a cover of The Boxer, the Simon and Garfunkel song.
With Paul Simon.
Paul Simon is in there somewhere. And let me just say, this song was never exactly subtle to mm-hmm. begin with. But let's listen to them kick it up a notch.
Well, I'm just a poor boy, though my story's seldom told. I squandered my resistance for a pocket full of mumbles, such are promises. All lies and jest, still the man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest. When I left my home and my family, I was no more than a boy in the company of strangers, in the quiet of the railway stations, running scared, laying low, seeking out the poor quarters where the ragged people go, looking for the places only they would know. Well, lie, 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 lie,
That is The Boxer, the Simon and Garfunkel song, Jerry Douglas, the slide guitarist, with Mumford & Sons, and in there somewhere, Paul Simon. We're speaking with Joe Levy, editor at Billboard, about the phenomenon that is Mumford & Sons. Tomorrow, when the final data is all in, they will be at number one on the Billboard charts, selling somewhere in the vicinity of 600,000 albums. And there is no wave, Joe, without a backlash. What is the backlash here?
This band is not critically beloved. And do you know anyone who likes this band?
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
I know two people. One of them moved to Florida, maybe to get away from people complaining about Mumford & Sons to her. Not critically beloved. In London, they've fought off critics who have grumbled, this is why you shouldn't let people go to college make music. And here in the States...
Because they use words like pluperfect
because,
and use them when
it's,
correctly.
When it's planning their lyrics, they know exactly what tense they're writing in. Here in the U.S., I think there's been a little more indifference than hate, critically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you can see in reviews of the new record, which go out of their way to mention that it's not different from the first record.
Well, that did strike me, that it is very much the same sort of sound.
No, it certainly is. And what people are really saying, I believe, is I don't really love this sound. Otherwise, there would be very little complaint.
Yeah.
For the fans, they're perfectly happy, thrilled, in point of fact, that it is the same sound, turned up a little, actually.
Mm-hmm.
A little more dynamic. You know, they share a producer with Coldplay and with Arcade Fire. Like Coldplay, they're a band that is very easy to dislike and that seems to sound very samey on record, record to record, song to song. And like Coldplay, if you go see them play live, you are likely to get it. The conversion experience with them is very much seeing what they do with these songs live and what the audience reaction is.
Well, listeners, what do you think of the new record from Mumford & Sons? You can tell us, leave a comment on our website, soundcheck.org. Critical reaction is mixed. There's some grumbling about, you know, not only highly educated people sort of slumming in pop music, but, you know, the sort of the Christian undertones that you mentioned before, Joe.
And these are all things that critics don't relate to, but people do. People like frat boy music because some of them are frat boys. And they like lyrics that have spiritual leanings because they often have spiritual leanings themselves.
But as you go through the record, there are some... You know, there are sags inevitably in most records, and where
you're talking
this...
about what we used to call side two back in the final days, aren't you?
where is the sagging underbelly of this new album, Babel?
It's on side two. It's once you get into the deeper cuts. You know, it's front loaded. Best songs are the first three songs. You go deeper in, and you get to the last few, and you're gonna hit some things that feel like clunkers to me.
Like the song Hopeless Wanderer?
That one feels a bit like a clunker to me.
It's from the new album called Babel by the band Mumford & Sons, and clunkers and critical reviews aside, it is going to top the Billboard charts tomorrow when the data's finally in. Joe Levy is editor at Billboard, joins us every Tuesday. Good to see you again, Joe.
Good to be here.
Hold me fast.